Chapter 126. Clutches. Purpose and function of a clutch. The clutch assembly is located between the engine and the transmission, transaxle. The purpose and function of a clutch include the following. To disconnect the engine from the transmission, transaxle to permit the engine to remain running when the vehicle is stopped and to permit the transmission, transaxle to be shifted. To connect and transmit engine torque to the transmission, transaxle. Note, the term transmission refers to rear-wheel drive vehicles and the term transaxle usually refers to front-wheel drive vehicles that have a differential built into the unit. A separate differential is used with a transmission. To dampen and absorb engine impulses and drivetrain vibration. To provide a smooth engagement and disengagement between the engine and the transmission, transaxle. Component parts and operation of a clutch assembly. A clutch assembly consists of a clutch disc that is splined to the input shaft of the transmission, transaxle. When the driver depresses the clutch pedal, a throw-out bearing, or release bearing, is forced against the fingers of the pressure plate. The pressure plate is bolted to and rotates with the flywheel. See Figure 126-1. When force is exerted on the center of the pressure plate, the pressure is released from the clutch disc that has been forced against the engine flywheel. With the pressure removed from the clutch disc, the engine can be operated without transferring torque to the transmission/transaxle. This also permits the transmission, transaxle to be shifted because a shift cannot be made if the transmission, transaxle is transferring engine torque. When the driver reduces force on the clutch pedal, the pedal return spring and the pressure plate spring combine to return the clutch pedal to its at rest position, clutch engaged position. When the clutch pedal moves up, the pressure on the throw-out bearing is released and the force against the pressure plate springs is released, allowing the force of the pressure plate to clamp the clutch disc tightly between the flywheel and the pressure plate. See Figure 126-2. Additional related parts include the pilot bearing, or bushing, that supports the front of the transmission input shaft. See Figure 126-3. The throw-out bearing is often supported and rides on the transmission, transaxle front bearing retainer, also called the quill. Note, most front-wheel drive transaxles do not use a pilot bearing. To summarize, when the clutch pedal is up, the clutch is engaged. When the clutch pedal is down, the clutch is disengaged. Refer to Figure 126-1. Typical automotive clutch assembly showing all related parts. Clutch pedal linkage. There are three methods of transferring the force of the driver's foot to the throw-out, release, bearing, including levers and rods. Through a series of levers and rods, the release fork is forced against the throw-out bearing. This method was commonly used on many older vehicles. Cable operation. A cable is used similar to a brake cable used on a bicycle. See Figure 126-4. Hydraulic. A small master cylinder and a slave cylinder located near the throw-out bearing is a very common method of connecting the clutch pedal to the release fork on vehicles equipped with a manual transmission. See Figures 126-5 and 126-6. Clutch disc. The clutch disc is round with a spline center hole that slips over the splines of the input shaft of the transmission, transaxle. Friction material is riveted to both sides of the clutch disc. One side touches the flywheel of the engine and the other side touches the friction surface of the pressure plate. Friction material is either woven or molded from a mixture of other materials. Woven materials are softer and help cushion clutch engagement, but they may not last as long as molded materials. Friction materials operate in high heat and pressure. For many years, asbestos was the most common material used in both clutch and brake linings. However, it is no longer used because inhaling tiny particles of asbestos causes lung damage. Today, clutch friction material may contain paper, cotton, and bits of copper or brass wire with resin holding the mixture together. Caution. Always take precautions when working around clutch lining material and assume that it contains asbestos. These precautions should include wetting the friction disc before removal and preventing any dust from the lining from becoming airborne. High performance. Clutch disc. Another type of friction material is a ceramic and metallic mixture. This creates a hard, long-lasting lining, but is more expensive and does not cushion clutch engagement as much as a softer lining. Instead of a full circle of softer friction material, the disc may have only a few segments or buttons of the ceramic metallic material. Clutches that use these discs, which are sometimes called button clutches, are found in racing applications where strength and durability are a greater concern than smooth engagement. See Figure 126-7. Stock clutch disc. Around the center hub of the clutch disc are torsional dampers that absorb the initial shock of engagement and help dampen engine firing and pulses being transmitted into and through the transmission, transaxle. See Figure 126-8. The torsional dampers are either coil springs or are made of rubber. In the space between the friction surfaces is a wavy spring steel material called a cushioning spring or Marcel spring. See Figure 126-9. The Marcel spring also helps to absorb the initial shock of engagement and allows for a smooth engagement of the clutch. Hint: the larger center hub section of the disc must be installed with the thicker portion facing the pressure plate. See Figure 126-10. Refer to Figure 126-2. Figure A: when the clutch is in the released position, clutch pedal depressed, the clutch fork is applying a force to the throwout, or release, bearing, which pushes on the diaphragm spring, releasing the pressure on the friction disc. Figure B: when the clutch is in the engaged position, clutch pedal up, the diaphragm spring exerts force on the clutch disc, holding it between the flywheel and the pressure plate. Refer to Figure 126-3. The transmission has just been removed. Note that this type of transmission incorporates the bell housing, which was therefore removed at the same time as the transmission. The clutch fork and throwout, release, bearing also came off together. All that remained attached to the engine was the flywheel, clutch disc, and pressure plate. Refer to Figure 126-4. A typical cable-operated clutch. Refer to Figure 126-5. A hydraulic clutch linkage uses a master cylinder and a slave cylinder. Refer to Figure 126-6. A typical clutch master cylinder and reservoir mounted on the bulkhead on the driver's side of the vehicle. Brake fluid is used in the hydraulic system to operate the slave cylinder located on the bell housing. Refer to Figure 126-7. A racing or high-performance clutch disc lacks the features of a stock clutch disc that help provide smooth engagement. Pressure plates. The purpose of the pressure plate is to exert a force on the clutch disc so that engine torque can be transmitted from the engine to the transmission, transaxle. The required strong clamping force is provided by pressure plate springs. However, a strong pressure plate spring force must be released by the force of the driver's foot to disengage the clutch. Most pressure plates today are made of stamped steel with a nodular cast iron driving plate. A smooth, machined area on one side forms the friction disc contact surface. When the clutch engages, spring force pushes the pressure plate toward the flywheel so the friction disc is clamped between the flywheel and the pressure plate. Engine torque flows through the clutch to the transmission input shaft. Three or four drive straps or clips connect the pressure plate to the clutch cover. These spring steel straps or clips help hold the pressure plate away from the flywheel when the clutch disengages. Several styles of pressure plates have been used, including coil spring style. This style of pressure plate uses coil springs and three or four release arms. A coil spring style pressure plate is also called the lever style because it uses levers to compress the coil springs. See Figure 126-11. Diaphragm spring style. This style is the most commonly used pressure plate design. One large, round, spring steel spring is used to apply even force on the clutch disc called a Belleville spring. See Figure 126-12. These tend to be smaller assemblies, weigh less, and have fewer parts than coil spring assemblies. The one-piece diaphragm spring does the job of all the release levers and coil springs in a coil spring clutch. The driver must push harder on the clutch pedal to disengage a coil spring clutch than to disengage a comparable diaphragm spring design. The pedal effort for a coil spring clutch increases the farther down the pedal is pushed. The pedal effort for a diaphragm spring clutch decreases during the second half of pedal travel. As the friction disc wears, coil springs expand and lose some of their clamping force. In contrast, the design of the diaphragm spring tends to increase its clamping force as the friction disc wears to half its original thickness. Then, as the friction disc continues to wear, the clamping force of the spring gradually returns to its original level. This happens without any obvious change in clutch pedal effort. In many cases, aftermarket clutch parts manufacturers supply a diaphragm spring pressure plate assembly when an original coil spring assembly must be replaced. If so, carefully compare the new pressure plate to the old one to make sure it is the correct replacement. Physical characteristics, such as dimensions and bolt hole patterns, must be identical for the assembled clutch to operate properly. Check that the inner edges of the diaphragm spring fingers are the same height as the release levers on the original unit. Refer to Figure 126-8. A typical stock clutch friction disc that uses coil spring torsional dampers. Refer to Figure 126-9. A marcel is a wavy spring that is placed between the two friction surfaces to cushion the clutch engagement. Refer to Figure 126-10. Cutaway of the center section of a clutch plate showing the various layers of steel plates used in the construction. Refer to Figure 126-11. A coil spring, lever style, clutch pressure plate. Refer to Figure 126-12. Typical diaphragm style pressure plate that uses a Belleville spring. Refer to Figure 126-13. A flywheel after it has been machined, or ground, to provide the correct surface finish for the replacement clutch disc. Flywheels. The engine flywheel serves four basic purposes. Smooths out or dampens engine power pulses. Absorbs some of the heat created by clutch operation. Provides the connection point for the starter motor to crank the engine. And provides the application surface for the clutch friction disc. A flywheel is heavy, or has a large mass, which creates inertia. This inertia acts upon crankshaft rotation to smooth out or dampen engine power pulses. On a running engine, the crankshaft speeds up as a cylinder fires, then slows due to internal engine friction until the next cylinder fires. The inertia provided by the flywheel mass tends to keep crankshaft speed more constant. Whenever friction exists between two moving parts, heat is generated. The flywheel absorbs some of the heat created by clutch operation by acting as a heat sink for the clutch friction disc. An external ring gear is pressed or welded onto the flywheel along its outer circumference. When the starter motor is engaged, the starter drive gear meshes with the flywheel ring gear. Through gear reduction, the flywheel transfers starter motor rotation to the crankshaft to crank the engine. The face on the transmission side of the flywheel has a smooth, machined area that creates the application surface for the clutch friction disc. This surface must be properly finished to allow adequate slippage as the clutch engages and disengages, and to prevent slippage when the clutch is engaged. See Figure 126-13. The flywheel is constructed of cast iron and attaches to the end of the engine crankshaft. The carbon content of the cast iron, about 3%, provides a suitable surface for the clutch disc. The carbon, in the form of graphite, acts as a lubricant to provide a smooth engagement of the clutch. Often the ring gear can be replaced separately without having to replace the flywheel in the event of a failure, as shown in Figure 126-14. The pilot bearing is often installed in the center of the flywheel, or in the end of the crankshaft, to support the end of the input shaft of the transmission. Dual mass flywheels. Some vehicles, especially high-performance vehicles and vehicles equipped with diesel engines, use a dual mass flywheel. The purpose of a dual mass flywheel is to dampen engine vibrations and keep them from being transmitted to the passenger compartment through the transmission and shift linkage. A dual mass flywheel consists of two separate flywheels attached with damper springs, friction material, and ball bearings to allow some movement between the primary and secondary flywheel. By allowing a very slight amount of movement between the two flywheels, the damper absorbs engine torque peaks and normal vibration to provide smoother drivetrain operation. The damper assembly is completely sealed, because it also contains a fluid or lubricant, typically silicon-based, which also helps absorb vibration and transmit torque. Typically, the two flywheels twist out of phase with each other by up to about 60 degrees to absorb torsional oscillations. The starter ring gear mounts on the primary flywheel. Power from the starter motor does not have to flow through the damper assembly to reach the engine crankshaft. The ring gear and pilot bearing are usually attached to the primary flywheel, and the clutch friction surface is usually the secondary flywheel. See Figure 126-15. Note, if the dual mass flywheel fails, the symptom is the same as a slipping clutch. The torque-limiting friction material connecting the primary and secondary flywheels can fail. This failure requires the replacement of the flywheel assembly. Refer to Figure 126-14. The starter motor will spin but the engine will not crank if the ring gear on the flywheel is broken. Refer to Figure 126-15. A cutaway of a dual mass flywheel used on a Ford diesel pickup truck. Tech tip. Shim it or replace it. Whenever replacing a clutch, most experts agree that the flywheel should be removed from the engine and resurfaced. When material is removed from the surface of the flywheel, the geometry, relationship, of the clutch parts changes because the pressure plate is now closer to the rear of the engine by the amount removed from the flywheel. Ask your parts supplier for a shim equal in thickness to the amount of material removed during resurfacing. Generally, these round shims are available in 0.020 to 0.100 thicknesses. The shim is installed between the crankshaft flange and the flywheel. If a shim is not used, the flywheel may have to be replaced to properly restore proper clutch operation and service life. Tech tip: repair the oil leaks before replacing the clutch. If engine oil or transmission lube gets onto the friction surface of the clutch will chatter when engaged. This grabbing and releasing of the clutch is not only harmful to the drivetrain, transmission, driveshaft, etc., but also is disturbing to the driver when the vehicle vibrates and shakes while driving. To avoid the possibility of a chattering clutch, always repair oil leaks as soon as possible. Rocker, valve, cover gaskets, intake manifold gaskets, oil galley plugs, rear main seals, as well as the input shaft seal on the transmission, transaxle itself can all lead to clutch contamination. See Figure 126-16. Pilot bearing or bushing. The transmission input shaft goes all the way from the transmission, through the clutch assembly, to the engine. Transmission bearings support the transmission end of the shaft. Depending on the length of the input shaft, it may also need a pilot bearing or bushing to support it at the engine end. A front-wheel drive vehicle with a stepped flywheel, compact clutch assembly, and a transaxle that has a short input shaft that may not reach all the way to the flywheel. This design does not need a pilot bushing or bearing to support the engine end of the input shaft. See Figure 126-17. Other designs, such as a rear-wheel drive vehicle with a flat flywheel, have a much longer transmission input shaft. At the engine, the transmission input shaft rests inside a small bore in the flywheel or crankshaft flange. The pilot bearing or bushing, which is pressed into this bore, supports the engine end of the input shaft and provides a low friction surface for the shaft to ride on. This keeps the shaft and friction disc perfectly aligned with the flywheel and pressure plate. The pilot bearing or bushing rotates with the crankshaft when the engine is running. At times, the input shaft does not rotate when the engine is running. The pilot bearing or bushing lowers the friction between these two moving parts. Some pilot bearings use ball bearings while other applications use a caged needle bearing. The outer race of the bearing is pressed into the crankshaft or flywheel. The input shaft slides freely into the inner race. Pilot bushings are usually a sintered metal sleeve pressed into the bore in the crankshaft flange. Always follow the manufacturer's transmission, transaxle lubrication instructions. Replacement pilot bearings may need to be packed before installation. Other pilot bearings are permanently lubricated at the factory. Pre-lubricated bearings have an oil seal to hold the lubricant. If only one side is sealed, that side faces the transmission when installed. Refer to Figure 126-16. Figure A. Before replacing the clutch, the bell housing should be cleaned and the clutch fork pivot lightly lubricated. Figure B. The input shaft seal should also be replaced to prevent the possibility of getting transmission lubricant on the friction surfaces of the clutch. Refer to Figure 126-17. A transaxle assembly has been removed to replace the clutch. Note the short input shaft. This vehicle did not use a pilot bearing, bushing. Case study: the Mazda pickup truck story. The driver of a Mazda pickup truck complained that it was difficult to shift the manual transmission into first gear and reverse. The hydraulic clutch system was checked and bled and seemed to be operating as designed. A defective clutch was not suspected because the clutch did not slip. The problem continued to worsen. Finally, when the driver had trouble shifting into all gears, the technician decided that the transmission had to be removed and the clutch inspected. When the transmission was removed, the clutch assembly, including the pressure plate, throwout bearing, and clutch disc all appeared to be worn but not enough to cause any trouble. Then the pilot bearing was inspected. The needle bearings were broken. The input shaft of the transmission is supported by the pilot bearing located in the center of the flywheel. Apparently, what had happened was that the pilot bearing failed and the pieces of the bearing kept the input shaft to the transmission rotating whenever the engine was running, whether or not the clutch was depressed or released. The technician replaced the pilot bearing and the other clutch components at the request of the owner and everything worked perfectly. The summary: the complaint, the driver of a pickup truck complained that the transmission was hard to shift. The cause, a defective pilot bearing was found to be the root cause. The correction, the installation of a new pilot bearing restored proper transmission shifting. Release bearing: the throwout, or release, bearing is attached to the clutch fork and rides on the fingers of the pressure plate. The clutch operating system moves the clutch release bearing when the driver presses or releases the clutch pedal. Most systems move the release bearing toward the flywheel to disengage the clutch. See Figure 126-18. However, Some systems have a pull-type mechanism that moves the bearing away from the flywheel to disengage the clutch. The release bearing presses against the diaphragm spring fingers or coil spring levers. This takes spring force off the pressure plate so that it no longer clamps the friction disc against the flywheel. The diaphragm spring fingers or coil spring levers rotate at crankshaft speed, but the clutch operating system is a part of the vehicle chassis and does not rotate. The release bearing is the point where the fixed, stationary clutch operating system meets the rapidly spinning clutch assembly. See Figure 126-19. Refer to Figure 126-18. The clutch pedal linkage moves the clutch fork, which then applies a force against the release bearing, which then releases the clamping force the pressure plate is exerting on the clutch disc. Refer to Figure 126-19. The release bearing rubs against the tips of the diaphragm spring. Release bearing construction. Most clutch release bearings are ball bearings. The bearing absorbs a thrust load when its outer race presses against the diaphragm spring fingers or coil spring levers. When the outer race contacts the spring fingers or levers, it must rotate with them at engine crankshaft speed. The inner bearing race is pressed onto an iron hub, or sleeve. In some designs, the inner bearing race and sleeve are machined as one piece. The inner bearing race and sleeve are stationary and do not spin when the outer race spins. Release bearing installation. The transmission front bearing retainer has a long, hollow tube extending toward the engine. The release bearing sleeve slides on the outer surface of this tube, which is commonly called the quill, quill shaft, or candlestick. In a typical system, the outside of the release bearing sleeve has grooves or raised flat surfaces that fit into the clutch release fork. A snap ring, spring clips, or lock pins secure the release bearing to the release fork. The clutch operating system pivots the release fork back and forth when the driver presses and releases the clutch pedal. The pivoting motion of the fork slides the release bearing away from or toward the engine to engage or disengage the clutch. Frequently asked question. What part causes what noise and when? Many service technicians try to determine which part causes noise before the clutch assembly is removed from the vehicle. Start your noise analysis by starting the engine with the manual transmission in neutral and the clutch engaged, foot off the clutch pedal. If you hear a growl or grinding sound, the cause is the input shaft bearing in the transmission. If you are hearing a chirping noise, slowly depress the clutch pedal. If the noise stops, the problem is lack of lubrication at the fork and pivot. If the noise gets louder as you depress the clutch, the throw-out, release, bearing is the problem. The pilot bearing is the cause of a squealing noise. If the sound changes as the clutch pedal is depressed or released, the sound will be loudest when the difference in speed between the engine and the input shaft is greatest. Frequently asked question. What is a pull-type release bearing? The pressure plate used on a few FWD vehicles is bolted directly onto the engine's crankshaft, and the flywheel is bolted onto the pressure plate. This allows the release bearing to be placed inside the pressure plate and operated by a pull rod through the transmission input shaft. It is often called a pull-type clutch. The mounting of the diaphragm spring is moved in the cover and at the pressure ring, so a pulling force is used to release the clutch instead of the normal pushing force. This change produces an improvement in clutch system efficiency and a lower clutch pedal effort. Types of release bearings. If the clutch operating system self-adjusts, then there is no clearance between the release bearing outer race and the diaphragm spring fingers or coil spring levers. The release bearing outer race constantly turns at engine crankshaft speed. This is called a constant running release bearing. In some self-adjusting systems, a snap ring holds the outer race to the spring fingers. This design is typical of pull-type clutch operating systems that move away from the flywheel to disengage the clutch. If the clutch operating system does not self-adjust, then there must be some clearance between the release bearing outer race and the spring fingers when the clutch is engaged. The outer race does not contact the spring fingers and so it does not turn. As the driver depresses the clutch pedal, the release bearing moves into contact with the fingers and the outer race begins to rotate with them. This type of release bearing is not designed to rotate constantly. If the clutch is not adjusted properly and there is no clearance, the release bearing spins constantly and wears out quickly. See Figure 126-20. Refer to Figure 126-20. Figure A, a release, throw-out, bearing on a transmission that uses a clutch fork and a mechanical or cable-operated linkage. Figure B, a style of release bearing that includes the slave cylinder, sometimes called a concentric slave cylinder. Figure C, a combination release bearing and slave cylinder showing the two hydraulic lines. The lower line is from the master clutch cylinder and the upper line is used to bleed air from the hydraulic system. Case study. Best to double-check your parts before installation. A beginning technician installed a new clutch in a Chevrolet pickup truck. After the transmission was installed and the drive shaft connected, the technician started the engine to check the operation of the clutch with the truck still on the lift and off the ground. The drive wheels never turned even though the clutch was released. It was almost as if the clutch disc was left out completely although the clutch pedal felt normal. The transmission was removed and the clutch parts inspected. Everything looked okay until the technician slid the clutch disc over the splines of the transmission input shaft. The diameter of the hole in the clutch disc was a lot larger than the diameter of the shaft. The clutch also simply revolved without even touching the input shaft. Obviously, the technician received the wrong clutch disc from the parts department. The experienced technician explained that not only should all parts be carefully inspected before installation but that the clutch disc should have been slid over the splines of the input shaft to check for any possible burst that could prevent the clutch disc from disengaging. The summary. The complaint: clutch did not work after installation. The cause: the incorrect clutch disc with a too large spline opening was installed. The correction: the correct size clutch disc was installed. Release bearing lubrication. The ball bearing portion of the release bearing is usually permanently lubricated and sealed during manufacture. This part of the bearing should not be lubricated during service. The sleeve, or quill shaft, often needs lubrication during clutch service. Typically, a thin film of high temperature grease coats the sliding surfaces. Always follow the manufacturer's recommendations for release bearing lubrication, and avoid over-lubricating. As with pilot bearings, too much lubricant here can lead to early clutch failure. Clutch problem diagnosis. If the clutch is slipping, it cannot transfer engine torque to the transmission or drive wheels. A common method used to check for a slipping clutch is the following. Number 1. Drive the vehicle to a safe location where it can be accelerated safely. Number 2. Rapidly accelerate the vehicle in first or second gear and rapidly shift the transmission into a higher gear. The engine speed should drop as the clutch is released after selecting a higher gear. If the clutch is slipping, the engine speed will either rise or not drop after the clutch pedal is released, clutch is engaged. Another common problem with a clutch is that it sometimes will not fully disengage. The following symptoms will occur if there is a fault in the clutch or in the linkage or hydraulic system that could prevent the clutch from being fully disengaged. The transmission will be difficult, or impossible, to shift into reverse. The transmission will be difficult, or impossible, to shift between forward gears. Safety tip. Disconnect the battery before work begins. It is always a safe idea to disconnect the negative battery cable before performing major work to the vehicle as a safety precaution. Clutch replacement. The clutch replacement for a typical rear-wheel drive vehicle includes the following steps. Number 1. Hoist the vehicle safely and mark and remove the drive shaft. This step ensures that the drive shaft will be reinstalled correctly and in phase. Number 2. Disconnect the shift linkage, speedometer connections, and reverse light switch connection as well as the clutch linkage or cable or slave cylinder. Number 3. Support the transmission with a transmission jack and then remove the rear crossmember and bell housing bolts. Number 4. Carefully move the transmission toward the rear. Try to keep the transmission level to avoid causing damage to the pilot bearing or clutch components. A slight wiggling of the transmission is usually necessary to allow the input shaft to slide over the spline of the clutch disc. Number 5. After the transmission has cleared the clutch, it can be lowered and inspected before being reinstalled after the clutch assembly has been replaced. Number 6. Mark the pressure plate and flywheel if they are to be reused to allow them to be reinstalled in the same location to maintain assembly balance. Number 7. Remove the clutch pressure plate retaining bolts, and remove the clutch assembly including the release bearing, pressure plate, and clutch disc. Number 8. Clean and inspect the flywheel. See Figure 126-21. Note: most experts recommend that the flywheel be removed and resurfaced. Always use new flywheel bolts and torque to factory specifications. Number 9. Inspect the new clutch to make sure that the parts match the original clutch. See Figure 126-22. Number 10. Replace or lightly lubricate the pilot bearing bushing. Number 11. Install the clutch disc and pressure plate using an aligning tool to center the clutch disc and then torque the pressure plate bolts to factory specifications. See Figure 126-23. Number 12. Inspect the clutch release lever and replace if necessary. Number 13. Attach the replacement release bearing and install the transmission and torque the retaining bolts to factory specifications. Number 14. Reconnect the clutch linkage and place the transmission into high gear and have an assistant to press the clutch pedal. Grasp the output shaft and turn it with your hand. A. The transmission output shaft should be easy to rotate if the clutch is fully disengaged with the clutch pedal held down. See Figure 126-24. B. If the output shaft cannot be rotated, double-check that the clutch linkage and clutch is correctly installed. Number 15. Reinstall the rear crossmember and torque the retaining bolts to factory specifications. Number 16. Reconnect the shift linkage, speedometer, and reverse light connections. Number 17. Install the drive shaft and torque the U-joint retaining fastener to factory specifications. And Number 18. Lower the vehicle and test drive it to verify correct clutch operation. Refer to Figure 126-21. Using an abrasive disc to remove the glaze and to restore the proper surface finish to a flywheel. Refer to Figure 126-22. A typical clutch kit, which includes the clutch disc, pressure plate, and release, throw out, bearing as well as grease for the spline and a clutch disc alignment tool. Refer to Figure 126-23. A clutch alignment tool is inserted into the pilot bearing and over the splines of the clutch disc to keep the disc properly centered before installing the pressure plate. After the pressure plate has been installed and torqued to factory specifications, the alignment tool can be removed because the pressure plate spring force holds the friction disc tightly against the flywheel. Refer to Figure 126-24. To check that the clutch is properly installed before replacing all of the components, try to turn the output shaft with the transmission and gear and the clutch pedal depressed by an assistant. Clutch pedal adjustment. As the clutch disc wears, the pressure plate moves closer to the flywheel. This causes the clutch to engage when the clutch pedal is higher and higher. Eventually, the clutch will start to slip if the linkage is not adjusted to compensate for the normal wear. Most hydraulic clutch linkage is self-adjusting and does not require any adjustment in normal service. Most lever-type clutch linkage must be adjusted for proper clutch-free pedal setting. Some cable-operated clutches are either self-adjusting or are adjusted easily. For example, one style of clutch linkage is adjusted by simply pulling upward on the clutch pedal until it stops. Some cable-operated clutch linkage is adjusted either at the bulkhead, firewall, where the cable exits the passenger compartment or at the clutch fork. Follow the adjustment procedures specified for the exact vehicle being serviced. Most adjustment procedures specify a clutch pedal free play of 0.5 to 1.0 inch. Free play is the distance the clutch pedal can be depressed without encountering any noticeable resistance. This slight amount of free play assures that the clutch is fully engaged and not partially engaged, as could occur if there is no free play in the pedal linkage. Tech tip. Check for bulkhead flex. Many cable-operated clutch linkage problems are caused by flexing of the bulkhead, or firewall, as the clutch pedal is depressed. This movement of the bulkhead can cause the clutch to slip. To prevent unnecessary clutch repairs, have an assistant observe the bulkhead near the clutch cable while the clutch pedal is depressed. If there is movement of the sheet metal bulkhead, add reinforcing steel plate to the area. Refer to Figure 126-25. A typical cable-operated clutch adjustment. Location. The clutch can slip during acceleration if there is a lack of free play. The transmission may be difficult to shift into gear if there is too much free play. Refer to Figure 126-26. Gravity bleeding a hydraulic clutch. Opening the bleeder valve should allow air to escape and then fluid should flow. Hydraulic clutch service. Precautions. Fluid leaks or failure to release completely indicates the need for hydraulic system service. Clutch hydraulic systems have evolved from the early systems that had free travel adjustment and required clearance at the release bearing to newer systems that maintain a slight preload. Older systems used steel and reinforced rubber lines with threaded fittings, whereas the newer systems use plastic tubing sealed by O-rings and held together by locking pins at the connections. Hydraulic clutch bleeding. In many cases, a clutch hydraulic system can be bled by gravity bleeding, while in others, a helper may be needed. To bleed a clutch hydraulic system using the gravity method, perform the following steps. Step 1. Clean the bleeder valve at the slave cylinder and place a shop cloth under it to catch escaping fluid. See Figure 126-26. Step 2. Open the bleeder valve by loosening the bleeder screw and observe the flow. This is called gravity bleeding and is usually a slow but an effective method of bleeding in hydraulic clutch system. If no flow occurs, Have a helper to press the clutch pedal in a smooth, slow manner. Air bubbles coming from the bleed valve indicate that the system needed bleeding. After the air bubbles stop and a constant flow of fluid occurs, close the bleed valve. An alternative method is reverse, or back bleeding. This is done by forcing fluid through the slave cylinder bleed valve and upward to the reservoir. Step 3. Check the fluid level and correct it, if necessary. Some master and slave cylinders are mounted so that the cylinder portion is above the line connection, which makes it extremely difficult to bleed air from them. In some cases, it is possible to bench bleed them to remove all the air before installing on the vehicle. An alternative bleeding method is to have a helper partially apply the clutch while reverse bleeding using pressure surges from the fluid injector. Some clutch hydraulic systems will partially self-bleed if the clutch pedal is held completely depressed overnight using a brake pedal depressing tool. Another bleeding method is to construct an adapter to the fluid reservoir so a vacuum can be applied to the fluid using a hand, electric, or air-powered vacuum pump. Reducing the air pressure on the fluid will cause the air bubble to expand and move upward to the reservoir. Refer to Chart 126-1. Clutch Symptom Guide. Clutch Replacement. Step 1. The first step in the process of replacing the clutch on this Chevrolet S10 pickup truck is to remove the negative battery cable. Step 2. Remove the shifter mechanism inside the vehicle. This step may involve removing the center console and other components. Step 3. Mark and then remove the drive shaft. Step 4. Remove the exhaust pipe if needed. It was needed in this case, according to service information. Step 5. Remove the transmission mount fasteners. Step 6. Using a transmission jack, support the transmission and remove the bell housing bolts. Step 7. A view of the bell housing and throwout bearing as the transmission assembly is removed from the engine. Step 8. Removing the fasteners holding the pressure plate to the flywheel. Step 9. Removing the pressure plate and clutch disc. Step 10. Using a special puller, remove the pilot bearing. Step 11. The flywheel is being removed to be refinished or replaced as needed. Step 12. With the flywheel removed, check to see if the rear main seal is leaking and replace if needed. Step 13. Installing a reconditioned flywheel and torquing new bolts to factory specifications. Step 14. Installing a new pilot bearing and lubricate as per instructions in service information. Step 15. Using a pilot tool to align the clutch disc with the pilot bearing through the center opening of the pressure plate. Step 16. Installing the transmission assembly with a new throwout bearing. Step 17. Bleeding the air from the hydraulic clutch circuit. And Step 18. Finish the clutch replacement by reinstalling all components removed and check for proper operation. Review questions. Question 1. List the parts of a typical clutch assembly. Question 2. Describe what happens when the driver depresses the clutch pedal. Question 3. Describe how to determine which of the following is the cause of a noise: pilot bearing, throwout, or release bearing, and input shaft bearing. Question 4. Explain why a dual mass flywheel is used on some vehicles. Question 5. What is meant by clutch pedal free play? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. What is the purpose and function of a clutch? A. To disconnect the engine from the transmission, transaxle. B. To connect and transmit engine torque to the transmission, transaxle. C. To dampen and absorb engine impulses and drivetrain vibration. D. All of the above. Question 2. What is the purpose and function of a dual mass flywheel? A. Dampen engine vibrations. B. Increase the torque of the engine. C. Decrease the amount of force needed to depress the clutch pedal. D. Eliminates the need for a throwout, or release, bearing. Question 3. Which part does not rotate when the engine is running and the clutch pedal is depressed? A. Clutch disc. B. Pilot bearing. C. Pressure plate. D. Flywheel. Question 4. What part is often not used on a front-wheel drive vehicle with a manual transaxle? A. Flywheel. B. Throwout. Or release bearing. C. Clutch fork. D. Pilot bearing. Question 5. What should be done to check to see if a clutch is slipping? A. Release the clutch at idle speed and gear to see if it causes the engine to stall. B. Rapidly accelerate the vehicle in first or second gear and rapidly shift the transmission into a higher gear. C. Shift from first to reverse with the clutch pedal depressed and see if it goes into gear. D. Place shifter into second gear and start the engine with the clutch pedal depressed. Question 6. A manual transmission is difficult to shift or get into gear, especially reverse. Technician A says that the clutch may not be fully releasing. Technician B says that too much clutch pedal free play could be the cause. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. Before removing the transmission to replace a clutch, the what must be disconnected? A. Battery. B. Shift linkage. C. Reverse light switch wires. D. All of the above. Question 8. Technician A says that too much clutch pedal free play can cause the clutch to slip during acceleration. Technician B says that too little clutch pedal free play can cause the clutch to slip. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 9. What needs to be done before attaching the pressure plate to the flywheel? A. Align the clutch disc to the pilot bearing. B. Have an assistant depress the clutch pedal. C. Bleed the hydraulic clutch. D. Adjust the free play. Question 10. Two technicians are discussing bleeding a hydraulic clutch. Technician A says to open the bleeder and allow the fluid to gravity bleed. Technician B says to have an assistant slowly depress the clutch pedal as the bleeder valve is opened at the slave cylinder to bleed the air out of the system. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. End of chapter 126.